Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acne. It is the fourth episode of the second season. So welcome and thanks for listening. It was my birthday this past Saturday, and I just want to say thank you for any and all of your birthday wishes. I had the most incredible weekend, surrounded by such amazing friends and family, and I'm so, so grateful. I actually wanted to make a speech, but I thought that I would get emotional, so I didn't end up making a speech. So this is kind of like my speech. I just feel like at now 29, you know, I started this podcast when I was 27, and here we are 2 years later, and it's just wild. So thank you guys so much for listening. As always, I love your feedback. If there's anything that you can tell us to improve the podcast, I'm always listening. So for this little solo portion, before we get into an amazing episode with an etiquette coach, which I feel like we all need the advice of, especially with wedding season underway. So what to say when someone asks you if you want to drink and you're not drinking? That's something that a lot of you guys wanted me to talk about, and I would love to address it. So, I mean, I haven't fully been in this situation because I've been with my partner since I kind of stopped drinking. But if I were to be dating now, I actually think that it would be really easy to respond to something like that, just because I feel really secure about the fact that I'm not drinking at the moment. I would probably say something like, yeah, it's just not really my thing, or it doesn't really, you know, work for me. I think drinking is great for, you know, a lot of reasons, but for me, I'm just not really into it. And if they're like, well, that's weird, or I don't know if I can be with you, then like that's more of a reflection on them than it is of you, because I think it's really normal to not drink. I think it's actually a lot more common now than it ever has been before. And I think that, you know, it's your choice. And if you say, listen, it's not for me, and they have a problem with it, then they're not your person. But for me personally, and, you know, any friends that I have that don't drink, they just say, you know, I don't have a problem with you drinking, but it's not my thing. And part of the reason that I don't need to drink is because I already have like a naturally outgoing, kind of loud personality. So for me, that's easy. I don't feel like me not drinking is taking away from that. So If you're similar, there's no reason to feel insecure about not drinking. If you are more on the shy side, then just meet them for coffee and don't put yourself in a position where you have to be asked the question why you're not drinking. Another person asked how you tell someone you need more affection. I think this is a good one. It's really hard because a lot of people need a lot of affection. I know that I'm one of them. I need endless affection, definitely words of affirmation, and definitely physical touch. And I think if I weren't getting that, I would probably think that it wasn't a good match if I had to ask for it. But you know what? There's always situations where you have to ask for things. I mean, as we know, you know, guys especially kind of need to be trained a little. So if it's early stages and you want more affection, I think it's okay to say, like, listen, when you kiss me or put your arm around me or hold my hand, it makes me feel really good and secure about our relationship. Or just like, I really like it when you do that. You know, I really like it when you hold my hand. I really like it when you put your arm around me. I really like it when you give me a kiss on the forehead in public. Whatever it is, like, you can ask for it. You can always, always ask for what you want. And if you feel like you can't, I would say that's teetering on red flag territory, which is never good. So just try to ask for it and see how that goes. Dating after a breakup was a question, or a topic rather, that you guys wanted me to talk about. It's funny because dating after a breakup, it's like you always have the upper hand with whoever you end up dating. And the reason I say that is because you're emotionally unavailable. So, I mean, you can meet someone who you think is amazing and you're still not going to be too obsessed with them. So it's a good and a bad thing. It's a good thing because you're not going to come off too strong to anyone. But it's a bad thing because if you do meet someone incredible, you might end up giving them up or not being able to appreciate them in the way that you would if you were ready. And it's a tricky situation. I actually have two friends in the situation now. And, you know, I think the guy is so incredible. It would be crazy to give him up. But I think the girl in the situation is just too fresh for her still from this breakup. And she has these strong feelings for her ex still. And I think when you're in that situation, you're comparing a lot. You're comparing everyone you're going out with to your ex. And even if your ex was shitty, you're only remembering the good parts of your ex. So that's the downside. But I'd say the upside is that you're having fun. You know, a million people could like you and you could not have any feelings back, which some would say is like sociopathic to think of it that way. But I think it's a really good position to be in. I think that, you know, my best dating was right after a breakup. I was going on tons of dates, meeting tons of people. And I mean, I hate to say it, but like, I wasn't the one getting hurt in those situations. So it was kind of great. Someone wanted me to talk about the weird transition of going from college to a full-time job. Oh, and seeing everyone going back to school like that, you know, I guess is younger. Yeah, I mean, going from college to a full-time job is a really hard transition. I was still so in that college mentality. I just didn't, I mean, as you guys know, I was dating someone who was still in college. So it took me so long to transition. And all I wanted to do was go out every night. I wanted to find, you know, guys who were a little bit older, who like 25, 26, when I was 21, 22, 23, and kind of like have a going out group. And honestly, looking back, I wouldn't have done it any other way. I think that having this group to go out with, who half of us had already established ourselves in the city, was perfect. I think my biggest struggle then was getting into the idea of having a job and having to go somewhere every day and report to someone and like take a lot of verbal abuse, because at one point I was a personal assistant. And that was the hardest part for me. Like, I was like, I had all this freedom in college and now I have this shitty fucking job where I have to come in all day and I get nothing out of it. So I would do little things for me. Like back then, it was like getting, you know, McDonald's one day for lunch or something that like made me a little bit happy, because it's a hard transition. I mean, Blink-182 says it best. No one likes you when you're 23. And that's really true. I think that was around the time I started seeing a therapist too. So I think that, you know, you really have to nurture yourself in that transition and in that journey and find your gang, like find your group. Someone asked, and this will be the last one because I want you guys to get to enjoy this episode, but someone asked the beginning stages of dating someone, texting first, being hard to get, hanging out, hooking up. I mean, I think, I feel like we address this a lot, especially on our poll questions on our Instagram, but I would say in the beginning stages of dating someone, just, you know, make sure you're not all in before, like when it's too soon to be all in. Make sure you're dating more than one person. Don't be waiting on their every text. Really have your own thing going on. And not only will that be a good way to make it, you know, not obvious to that person that you're so into them, but it'll also be a great way to compare and contrast the people you're dating and see how they measure up next to one another. Because the next thing you know, you're going to choose someone and you're going to be married and you'll never have that opportunity to go back and say, well, what if I dated a few different people and saw how it went with all of those? And then just in terms of being hard to get, I mean, just be busy, like be hard to get because you are hard to pin down. And that's the best way. And then real quick, someone asked how to ask about someone's dating history. I think it does come up naturally. I don't think that it's something that you should ask on a first date. But I think you can just be like, how long was your longest relationship? I think like something like that is better than saying like, what was your ex like? So something like that is probably good. And now I want to give the floor over to our episode with Mika. And we're going to be discussing being an etiquette coach and the etiquette of weddings, relationships, and so much more. So I hope you enjoy. Something so crazy that I don't know if you guys realize is how many nutrients our bodies need. I mean, I feel like it's so hard for me to be regular and to just get everything that I need from my diet because my diet's just whack. Like it's out of control. If you haven't seen my food Instagram, don't expect salads. I never eat salads. I never eat greens. And I just thank God for Ritual. I discovered it a few months ago and it's a vitamin for women. If you are a woman and you've been looking for a vitamin that will just keep you feeling good and feeling whole, Ritual is definitely for you. They deliver it to you. It's a subscription. Well, a subscription for me was the easiest way to start because it's only a dollar a day to have all of the essential nutrients and it's delivered every month, which is easy for me because I'm lazy. And they've got D3, omega-3, and pretty much all of the gaps that I needed in my diet, which is awesome. It doesn't make you nauseous. It's totally fine to take on an empty stomach. And there's a mint tab in every bottle. So you just keep things like really fresh. You get this fresh aftertaste, kind of like after brushing your teeth instead of a gross fishy aftertaste that you get with most omega-3s, which is great. And because I love you guys and I want you to be able to enjoy it as much as I do, you can go to ritual.com/acme and you can get 10% off during your first 3 months. So try it out. Just go to ritual, ritual.com/acme and you'll get 10% off during your first 3 months. ritual.com/acme. All right. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I'm super excited to be here with etiquette expert, Mika.
Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Good, thank you for having me.
I love you're so colorful right now.
Thank you.
Pink earrings and a blue headband. Headbands are really in right now.
Well, they're the best summer accessory ever because I have super frizzy hair and just keeps everything and you look more polished than you actually are.
It's the best.
It's my go-to.
It should be everyone's go-to. So Micah, how old are you and where are you from?
I am 37 mm-hmm. and from originally from Sarasota, Florida. But then I actually have British and U.S. Citizenship. So I kind of cross the pond back and forth now.
Very cool. That makes a lot of sense that you are somewhat associated with the British world because you do etiquette and they, for the most part, have really good etiquette.
Exactly. And that's how, when I first got into etiquette, I was working there and I was like this very casual, you know, yes, I did make the millennial cut, but like casual millennial living in London mm-hmm. and then looking around, I was the only American and realized everybody was seemingly kind of more polished than me in every way. So right. that was the motivation for my first, really for my first class.
For sure. And so how did you get started exactly? Did you take a course yourself or were your parents, did they just raise you to have really good etiquette?
Do you know, I grew up in a very modest household, like flip-flops, grew up on a boat, and my dad's from Barbados. So growing up, he had kind of the British, like the really strict upbringing from some nuns and like that really formal. So he was always kind of like, you know, you have to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and never mm-hmm. address an adult by their first name. So I had that kind of etiquette, but I don't think I touched a real piece of silver until I was an adult. Like wow. genuinely, yeah. really formal etiquette until I was an adult. And, you know, really it was kind of learning. Once I learned it, I kind of was like, wait a second. If I can learn this, anyone can learn this.
Right.
And to me, etiquette was something that was like untouchable or, you know, just not relevant anymore until I learned everyday etiquette. And I was like, it was mind-blowing what I didn't know.
Right.
And then that's how I started.
I want to hear like what exactly everyday etiquette is to you, but I want to tell you, so growing up, I grew up in New York City and a lot of kids, but never me for some reason. I don't know why, but we're taking these like kind of like ballroom dancing
like
classes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember being kind of jealous, like, what are they learning that I'm not learning, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, what is everyday etiquette exactly?
So really, you know, for instance, today I kind of post like little videos on everyday etiquette. So one that I posted today was about sunglasses etiquette. So instead of, so the saying is, if it's not on your face, it should be in your case. So instead of putting your sunglasses on your forehead or clipping it on your, you know, your blouse, then just putting them in your case and putting them away. Just like little things
but
like
what
that.
What if your purse is too small for your case?
Well, then I would say, then clip it on your, then that would right. be, like, there's an exception to every rule, right?
But I do agree with you about the forehead because then it stretches them out.
Stretches them out. Also, you're constantly like fidgeting with them. It just looks like a little bit more polished too if you're going into a business meeting or going into a nice meal. So, I mean, that's one. Even things like how to hold a handbag. You always hold it in your left hand. So when you're coming into a room and you're shaking hands, then your right hand isn't obstructed. So like coming in with a clutch, you never put it on the pit of your arm. You just hold it to your side or to your elbow. Mm. Just like little things like that mm-hmm. are a little bit more practical mm-hmm. that make you look a little bit more finished than, you know, like little things like that, I'd say.
Right. So let's take a step back because we are primarily a dating podcast.
Yes.
And will you tell me what your relationship status is?
Married, mm-hmm. With a little girl. So I'm married and I met my husband in New York at Felix. Do you know the brunch spot?
No.
Oh yeah.
I think I've heard of it.
The spot. It's like brunch extreme. There's a DJ, but it's so fun.
Oh wow.
And I went there because I love European men. Mm-hmm. And so I went literally there for that reason, because that was where all the kind of hot European guys were going at the time. This is like 12 years ago.
That's incredible. And yeah. you met a European man.
I did. I literally spotted him earlier that day. I was in the middle of a heartbreak. Steve had broken up with me and I was like gutted. And my girlfriends were like, get out of the house right now. And brought me first to Pastis, which just reopened, which I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah.
And then went to Felix. Mm-hmm. And they were like, and earlier at Pastis, I'd said, you know what? I think I'm in the wrong state. Like, everybody here is wearing black. Where is my Palm Beach pink shirt guy? You know, I'm in the wrong state. And at Felix, one of my girlfriends, Tina, she kind of nudged me. And she was like, there he is. And I turned over and turned around. And there's one guy wearing a pink shirt
with like a slightly popped collar, high cheekbones, sandy blonde hair. I was like, cha-ching. Mm-hmm. So I literally just walked up and introduced myself.
And where in Europe is he from?
Switzerland. Amazing. So for me, like that's one everyday etiquette thing I always say. You don't have to wait till someone approaches you. Like just if you see somebody you want to introduce yourself, just go. Just go and do it.
So how'd you do that? You went up?
Well, I had, in all fairness, I had a bit of rosé, so I wasn't very clever that morning. But I just walked up, put out my hand. I think a handshake, honestly, is still like a formal way to introduce yourself. She said, hi, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Micah. It was so simple, but he was so stunned that he was like, women don't introduce themselves. He's like, it was so interesting that one person came up to me. I was so taken by that. Right. He's like a little surprised, but I'm always about the, you know, if you want something, go get it. And in that case, that was what I wanted to introduce myself.
I love that. And then what was the dynamic like after you introduced yourself? Did you feel like you, since you kind of initiated to begin with, that you had to continue initiating, or did you let him take it from there?
I let him take it from there. I always think it should be two-sided, right? If you're the only person constantly inviting or texting, then that's not a good sign. And interestingly, he right then and there was like, you know, what are you doing for dinner tonight? And I actually already had plans, but I liked that he didn't waste time. He didn't have to wait 3 days. He didn't have to, you know, it was right then and there. And he invited me out. And I'm always in the kind of mindset that it's less gender specific, but whoever invites the person out, whoever picks the restaurant, whoever orders the wine is the person that pays.
Right. I totally agree.
Yeah.
I actually just did a segment on this.
Did you? Yeah. Exactly. I just feel like it's not about gender anymore. You know, it's all about who is that person taking the initiative. Well, that's who pays.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And what was your age difference when you met, or like, what is your age difference rather?
Let's see. He is 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So, at that time I was actually like, you know what? I actually usually date older men. So somebody who was only 3 years older than me, I was kind of like, he's still going to be in this kind of, you know, playboy age. And I mean, this is now 12, like I said, 12 years ago, but at the time I was like, oh, he's too young. I think he's too young. I wanted somebody who's like gotten that out of their system, but it worked for this, you know, this occasion. But, yeah.
That's awesome. And when's your birthday and when it's his?
June 27th.
So you're a Cancer.
Exactly. And he is Gemini. So he's May 20th.
Oh, wow. Such an interesting match.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but I'm really just all about kind of, people might say, it's kind of like the Bumble approach, right? It's like, it's more forward. Sometimes people are like, oh, well, is that good etiquette or is that appropriate? I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a modern day society. Yes. Mm-hmm. Go.
And how do you maintain your etiquette if your partner and you like have a fight or something like that?
You mean like keep your calm?
Yeah. Or just like, is there etiquette for fighting with a partner?
I'm going to say no to that one. I think maybe you just say, a couple things maybe I could say there is passive aggressive behavior rarely works. So if you want to say something, say it. Don't say, well, do you think you could have done this better because it hurt my feelings? It's like, no, actually this hurt my feelings. I feel like this could have been handled differently.
Right.
So I would say that would be something.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, fighting fire with fire never works. You know, so if somebody's yelling and you yell back, it's just kind of like, if you need to take a moment and cool off and come back to the conversation, that's probably better off than just fighting, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
So something that comes up all the time on the podcast is wedding etiquette and like destination wedding etiquette. And just like who, you know, let's say I'm bringing my partner to a destination wedding.
Okay.
Where he's never met the couple.
Right.
Am I going to take care of everything? Like, what is the etiquette there?
So I believe that if you are inviting someone to a wedding, you should be responsible for the hotel. You should be responsible for the gift that you give the couple. I think it's okay to let that person buy their flight, but I still think you should expect that, like, you are taking those costs that you would be spending anyway. You know, like if you're going, you're getting hotel anyway. You're paying for Ubers to the airport anyway. But anything that would be extra, then you can leave it to that person to purchase themselves if they want to come.
Mm-hmm. And what about if it's a situation where it's like you kind of, like the person you're bringing kind of knows the couple? You know what I mean? And it's not like...
Again, I feel like if they would not be invited on their own, then you don't want them to incur like so many costs just to be your date.
Right.
You know, like they're actually coming, if they're not really friends of the couple, they're coming because you invited them because you want to bring a date.
Right.
So they shouldn't, you know, go bankrupt on all the costs that come with the wedding if you are the one that invited them. They don't really know the couple.
Totally.
You know, sometimes if somebody's super generous or they have the means and they want to chip in or they want to pay for it, then that's amazing and super, you know, for you. But mm-hmm. I don't think you should ever expect that if you're the person inviting them.
Right. And what does a gift look like for a wedding for you? Like, how much do you think it's okay to spend or not okay to spend?
I think it totally depends on how close you are with the couple or the person getting married. You know, I think it can vary anywhere between, you know, some people say, oh, you should give a gift that covers what it would have cost for you to come, right? So if you think the per plate was $50, you give a $50 gift. I don't believe that at all because you have no idea how much the couple spent. So I always say, you know, as general kind of rules, or guidelines, we should call them, you could spend, you know, $75 to $100 per person. So if you're going and, you know, you don't know the couple that well, then that would be a starting point. And I would think it's up, you know, I went to a wedding recently of somebody I knew since childhood and, you know, I spent a few hundred dollars on a gift because it was somebody that wasn't as, they were just somebody that was in my life, that you know, was in my life for longer than just a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on you and your relationship with that person. If it's a close family or friend, or maybe if you're in the wedding and you've paid for the bachelorette party and the bridal shower, then maybe you're not expected to have a $500 gift as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it can just vary.
Now I'm like overthinking because my friends are getting married next weekend and like my partner and I are both close with them.
Right.
And, I got them a gift for the engagement.
Right.
That was like
$100. Right.
And I just got them another gift that was like $100 for the wedding. Does that sound like low? My boyfriend like doesn't even know what a gift is. Like I have to do it for both of us.
Do you know what I might do? I might get that and then just one more other gift for them to open. So it's mm-hmm. like two, and it doesn't even have to be expensive, but it could be like more thoughtful. So if you're buying something on their registry, they know how much you spent. But if you added in like a beautiful frame or beautiful something like that they wouldn't know, it's just like a little bit larger of a gift.
Right.
If you're coming with two people, if you're bringing two people and they're close to you, $100 might be on the lower end, I would say, from what I have kind of experienced.
Interesting. So what if I like waited to bring the gift to the actual wedding itself? Is that...
Where is the wedding?
It's in Aspen.
Okay. So I think you could ask the preference of the couple, because if you bring the gift, then how are they going to get the gifts back? If they're from
that's
Aspen, then great. So I've been bringing envelopes, sending the package to their home so they don't have to like transport it back.
Right.
And then I bring like a really nice card that says like, you know, we'll say something from me and my husband and say, gift sent to your doorstep so you don't have to carry it.
Right.
You know, something like that so they know, but you still come with something.
What if I sent flowers to their home instead of like doing, you know what I mean? Like, would that count? Because
you could,
they were expensive, nice flowers.
You could do something like that. Just make sure it's in a vase. So it's like an arrangement, because otherwise you're kind of like giving them more work.
Right.
So just, I think that's a really nice gesture. I think that's super.
Okay. Okay, great. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. No,
that sounds like the easiest option. You know?
No, and I'm sure they'll love it.
I hope so. So going back to wedding etiquette, and you know, obviously before a wedding, it's very common for people to have a bachelor or bachelorette.
Yes.
So I actually just went on my friend's bachelorette. It was 17 girls in Bermuda.
Oh wow.
17. It was a big one.
Okay.
And she had us download this app called Splitwise. Have you heard of it?
Oh yes. Yes, of course.
Yeah, and it was kind of great. Like, I think without that app, we would have been like, you know, many people would have felt like they were owed money and they weren't receiving it in
exactly.
X, Y, and Z. So what do you think, you know, how do you think that should go down? Also, I want to mention she took care of dinner one night for all of us, which was
That's very, very nice. Yes.
And we went on a boat, you know, one day and we're all splitting the cost of that. So I guess my question to you is like, how much should a bridesmaid versus a just a friend who's on the bachelorette be willing to be like prepared to spend?
Right.
Should it be the same amount? Should the bride or groom, you know, be expected to cover the cost of a dinner?
Okay. So I would say here, the people planning the bachelor or bachelorette party, those people are responsible for the full costs of the bachelorette party usually. So those people need to decide ahead of time what their budget is. So
meaning they have to pay for it themselves, or they're just responsible for like dishing it out?
They should pay for it themselves. So usually
really?
the bride wouldn't be chipping in for...
Really? Unless, this is the first I'm hearing of
unless
this.
Unless it's so expensive and the bride has chosen a destination that is above budget for everybody else. So if you decide to take, you know, everybody upstate this weekend or to Bermuda or whatever it is, and the bride didn't decide that, then the bride shouldn't be sent a bill.
No.
So
I think now it's more common that the bride is like, this is where I want to go.
And in that case, then I think if everybody agrees that they can do that, you know, it's something that you should all discuss ahead of time, then typically you should be treating the bride.
Wow.
Is what we tend to see. You know,
but
and
if
I
you're
think,
treating the bride, why should you get a gift for their wedding? You know what I mean? It's like...
Because it's for the couple. The bachelorette party is just for the bride.
Ah.
The wedding is for the couple. So you want a gift that goes to the couple. So I think if the bride tells you, I want to go to Hawaii, and the group cannot afford that, then they should say no. That's just not within our budget. You might have to be honest with them. And I always say, you know, it's so important to discuss the cost ahead of time. But then, you know, with Splitwise, then you also can easily Venmo the person. You can easily send that person a reminder request. It takes the awkwardness out of asking for money.
But don't you think it is awkward to send a reminder request? I often deal with this. So I'm going to a bajillion weddings. Like
okay.
I have a wedding like every other weekend.
Right.
If not every
I remember
weekend.
That phase. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. my friend's getting married, you know, the weekend after Labor Day. And my friend and I are splitting a hotel room. And I put the down payment and like organized it.
Okay.
And I sent her two Venmo requests because she wanted me to split it up into two.
Right.
And she hasn't completed either. And this was like a few months ago. And I said something to her at like this past weekend at the Bachelorette. I was like, hey, like just like when should I expect, you know, because like I don't want
right,
to send
you don't
a reminder.
Right.
And she was like, yeah, like I'll get to it. But it's like, what do you do in that situation? It's so awkward.
I mean, I always say it's totally fine to send that reminder request. That's why it's there.
Yeah.
That's why Venmo did it, to take out the awkwardness so you don't have to be, you know, verbally asking somebody. But I think in this situation, if it's not working, I did exactly what you did or you would do in that situation. She said, I'll get to it.
Yeah.
Hmm. I mean, I would maybe try. And when will you see her next?
It's a great question. Probably not for a little while because I'm going away. So probably like not until like a week maybe before that wedding.
Right. Well, I think the only other thing you can do is try a different form. So mm-hmm. you need to decide, and depending on your relationship, you're really close. I would just call my girlfriends and say, hey, you still owe me the money from this, trying to get everything settled. If you could please send it in the next day or two, that'd be really helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But give how them do you not come off as like cheap by doing that? You know what I mean?
Well, I think if anything, that person is coming off as cheap by not paying you.
That's
bad etiquette. That's really disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody took the time to pay up front and then the people aren't paying them back. There's, interestingly, we actually, there is a survey that was conducted on this exact question about how much, Venmo asked their community, how much time do you have to pay somebody back? And if somebody right then and there puts down and, you know, pays the card with their card and everybody owes, the Venmo community said within 48 hours of being sent that request is a respectful time to pay back. So,
ooh, that's a good poll question.
It's a great poll question. And that's what, you know, the community said. This is not a rule that I made. These are just guidelines that have been set by people who use the app.
Right.
So I think if you are following those guidelines, then great. And if not, I would try just sending her a more definitive request and saying, you know, hey, I don't want to chase. Sorry, this is, you know, I don't want to be uncomfortable about this. I just know that I'm trying to collect what is owed for this bachelorette party or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
If you could pay me the, you know, X amount in the next 2 days, that would be really helpful. And after that, I mean, I might question my friendship with that person if
if after months and asking repeatedly, they're not paying you back, they might not intend to pay you back, which would be an issue for me, for sure. for my friends.
For sure.
I don't have any friends that I would
I don't think it's about them not intending to pay you back as much as them probably thinking, oh, she's not gonna do anything if I leave it until, you know what I mean?
It's almost
taking advantage
of that. The longer it's left, the likelihood it's not going to get paid. Right. Though. So you need to decide from the amount that it is if you just leave it and move on, or if you follow up one more time and say, hey, and I would not use the Venmo request another time after that. Now it's just getting strange, I would say. So I would try a text or something that's in writing. And if after that the person doesn't, then I think it's a sign that they're taking advantage of the situation.
Right.
And maybe they don't have it, but that's not really your problem. They shouldn't have borrowed it.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what do you think about, if you're going to a lot of weddings, you're invited to a lot of bachelorettes.
Yes.
How do you pick and choose which to go to and which to not if you're someone that can't afford to go to all of them?
Yeah. I think what you have to do is plan out your year just as you would any budget, year, and say, I've got, X amount to spend on this year, period, end of story. You find out where the bachelorettes are being planned. One might take out your whole budget versus three might be local and you might be able to do them.
Right.
So I think that has a huge amount. I mean, now bachelorette parties, I don't think I've ever been to a bachelorette party that took place in the city I was living in 5-10 years. Everything is getting bigger and more extreme. And so I think that's the biggest issue. And then you probably, if you can only choose one, then you choose the person that you're probably closest with.
Right.
I would say for me in my wedding planning and bachelorette parties, I was whatever weddings I decided I went to, even if it was out of my budget, I would say, do I want that person at mine? Yes. Then I will go to theirs. Mm-hmm. That was always my mindset where possible. If there were five weddings all out of state or out of country, I would be how badly do I want them at my wedding? If I can envision my day, would I be gutted if they weren't there? Then I'm going to make every effort to be there.
That's a good way of thinking about it. And what about inviting people to weddings? We talk a lot about the etiquette of when to invite someone's significant other.
Yes.
I personally think that if they're not in the wedding party, they need to be living with that person in order to be invited. What are your... Right. Thoughts,
well, there's the famous no ring, no bring, or no bling, no bring.
No ringy, no bringy.
Yeah. I don't believe that because people can have long-term partners.
Right.
And it's just as committed a relationship. So I think I like the rule about, if they're not living together, if you have to create, if it's for budgetary or space restrictions, I think that is a pretty good judge. Every once in a while, there's a rule to every, exception to every rule.
Right.
So if somebody, has had a boyfriend or girlfriend for 10 years, versus the person who's had one for 1 year. But I think if they're living together, they definitely should be invited.
Right.
I would pose for a really awkward scenario for everybody involved if you didn't.
I agree. But I will say I've been with my partner for a year and a half and he's getting invited to every wedding with me now.
Which as you get older, you'll find that that's more common.
Right.
I remember not getting any plus ones for even my serious college boyfriend right out of college.
Right.
And then as I've gotten older, now most of my friends are getting plus ones even if they don't even have a significant other.
Right.
Because the older you get, the more people are pairing off. And then it's really awkward for that one person to be sitting at the aunt table, the great aunt table, just because they don't have a partner.
Right.
So
I mean, unless you have a lively group of singles at your wedding,
exactly.
In which case it's fun to curate a single table.
At our wedding, we had a few people that kind of weren't dating people and I gave them the option. I was I've got some really interesting potential matches here that you've never met that I'd love to introduce you to. No pressure. But if you want to invite somebody, let me know. Otherwise, I'd love to sit you at a really fun table of some people I think you'll love. I was very direct about it.
And did anyone meet? As a result of that?
Yes, we had a couple. Nobody got married out of it, but we had quite a few matches on that wedding day.
Oh,
there was a lot of interesting text chains going on after that wedding.
I love that.
It was really fun.
And where did you have your bachelorette?
Oh, mine was in Vermont. So I was living in London at the time. So I flew in and the girls very sweetly offered to pay for my flight. But I said, I'm coming from London. That's crazy. But then they took care of from the moment I landed at the airport. They had this huge white van. and there were 12 of us. It was like a giant bus sort of. And they drove, they like kidnapped me and we went to Vermont and it was an 80s themed ski party.
That's so
fun. We had a lodge and yeah, so it was, and it, like the whole weekend was like fluorescent, like one piece ski suits. I had a one piece bikini or bathing suit on that we went tubing in with. Like they supplied all the theme. It was so fun. 80s music the whole weekend.
That's so fun.
It was like my dream come true.
What do you think the etiquette is at a destination wedding in terms of like I've gotten to a lot of really nice destination weddings where I arrive in my room and there's kind of like a nice care package from the couple. Yeah. With a little schedule and like places to go, places to eat.
Right.
And then I've been to places, you know, to destination weddings where they don't have that. And I wonder what you think about, you know, if that should be included.
I think it's purely a budget thing because those can be, you know, say you have 200 people or 150 people at your wedding. Those little packages, care packages, can get really expensive. So I think if you can do it, I think it's a really nice, warm welcome when someone comes into their hotel room. You're not familiar with the place, a little map. I think that's super sweet. I'm really appreciative of that. I was at a wedding in Tennessee this spring and they had, you know, like they call it like their little hangover kit. And then they had cookies from a local bakery. And then they had the, like in a scroll, you know, everything to do, where to be and when. So they make sure their guests are on time.
Right.
You can also, if you can't do that, you can do that online. Yes, it's not a physical kind of thing, but you can still have on the wedding website where to go, what to do when you get there, places to visit if that's not an option or you don't have the time or resource because mm-hmm. those little bags to put together can take some time.
Right.
So you could try that as well.
Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on like making someone a bridesmaid? Mm. If do you feel like you have to make someone a bridesmaid if they made you one? I don't know what you did specifically in your own situation.
I don't think you should ever feel pressure to make somebody a bridesmaid that if you've been in their wedding. Essentially, what people think is that they don't mean the same to you. That's not the case. That's probably not always true. I don't think you should ever feel pressure. You could have 15, 20 people in your wedding if that's, you know. My situation, I went big. I went really big. I went ridiculously big. And I think if I could go back, I would have not done that.
What's big?
So I had 12 bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one maid of honor, 11 bridesmaids. Because I just could not cut anyone. And those were I had my childhood best friends and my college best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't choose. And so I was like, you know what? Instead of hurting one person's feelings, I'm going big. And we only had, I think we had my husband had 8 groomsmen. So each guy kind of walked, some of them walked 2 girls down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thought it was a little bit ridiculous. But I was like, I'd rather this than hurt 1 or 2 people or 3 people's feelings.
Right. I know, like, I'm not getting married anytime soon, but I know that when I do, I probably, if I had bridesmaids, would have to have at least 12, at least. Yeah. So the way I look at it is I'd rather have no bridesmaids. What do you think about not having bridesmaids and groomsmen?
I think that's absolutely fine. It's personal preference. What you might do is have just one maid of honor.
Oh, yeah, my sister.
Right. And then that's your sister. If I could do it over, I don't have a sister, but I think I would do something similar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to realize that people don't feel responsibility for helping you plan things. So I had someone who just got married last year and she did exactly that. She had her maid of honor, which was her sister. But she was like, nobody was like volunteering to plan things. Nobody was volunteering to.
Well, what about your wedding planner?
Well, yes. And not everyone can afford a wedding planner, I think.
You know,
in her case, she didn't have one.
Right.
And on the day she was like, hey, she sent an email a week before and she's like, hey, is there any way I could get some volunteers to help me put bags in hotel rooms and or like assemble kits? And on the day of, if anybody wants to come get dressed with me, if you have a bachelorette party or like a bridal, you know, party, it's just assume they're going to be there. It's just like assume.
Right.
Like, they're
that's
constantly
a great
like,
point.
How can I help? What can I do? Like I had an army of amazing women that were like took over, and I had a wedding planner and they were like the best assistants in the world.
Right.
Like,
that actually, that makes me want to have bridesmaids.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on having bridesmaids that are only family, like only my, you know, female cousins and.
You could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it all depends on your relationship. Think about this. On your day, on your like wedding day, who do you want next to you? Mm-hmm. Because for me, it wasn't that I was nervous. I was just uncomfortable with the thought of standing up there. I just didn't really like it. I didn't really even want a big wedding. I didn't want a wedding. I just wanted to like elope. I knew that would kill my family. So I was like, okay, I can't do this. So then I was kind of like, okay, I'm going big. Go big or go home. And then I just needed that support. I needed to look down, look to my left, and see all these faces that were like the greatest humans on the planet looking up at me.
Right.
Like that for me was what I wanted. And I did. And like multiple times I looked at them like, okay, here we go. Here we go. And they were all like giving me like the winks and like the thumbs up and like made me smile when it was like a long, serious, like Catholic right. hour ceremony.
When you say it like that, I'm like, it narrows it down for me a little bit.
Yeah.
But I still feel bad.
It is hard. It is hard, but yeah, you just kind of have to think. But who do you want next to you on right. your wedding day?
And then my last question about etiquette is, let's say that you, you're invited to someone's wedding. It's destination, as they all seem to be these days.
Yes.
And you go with yes. your partner.
Okay.
And then it's your wedding. It's time for your wedding. And it's also destination.
Right.
And they don't go to your wedding.
Yeah.
And they don't have a legitimate excuse. Like, is the friendship over?
I don't think the friendship is over, but I think you don't forget things like, you know, like for right. me, like I know who was and who wasn't at my wedding. Like I still right. remember.
Right.
I still remember. And I think you don't know their situation. If they're not giving you like a real legit, like I have this or I have that.
Right.
It could be for money reasons.
Right.
And you don't, you know, like, you would think they probably want to be there. There's no reason they probably right. wouldn't want to be there if they're a friend. They might just be embarrassed to tell you they can't afford right. it. Like that could that's mm-hmm. a hard situation for someone to say, I'm so sorry, I can't come to your wedding. I can't afford it. That's very, can feel very shameful for someone to have to say and embarrassing. So I think just try to be understanding of it. It's hard. I don't think the friendship's over. I'm still friends with all the people that didn't come to my wedding, even though I remember it. Uh-huh. But I still, you know, but yeah, I think they probably wanted to be there, but who knows? Maybe right. their personal reasons.
And then actually one more question. If you're invited to someone's wedding and you don't go.
Yes.
Would it be okay to not invite them to your wedding since you didn't end up going to theirs? You know
yes,
what I mean?
That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I think every person's different. Like I've been invited to quite a few weddings where I didn't go and I also didn't invite them to mine. Because like I said, you might be really important to somebody, or it could be a client, it could be a colleague, but you don't necessarily see them at your big day. And that's okay too.
Right.
I think if you don't go to someone's wedding, or if I'm invited to someone's wedding, I always still send a gift.
Uh-huh.
That is, that's to really me, that's nice. Very important. If yeah. so, if you meant so much to somebody that they invited you to their, the most important day, arguably of their life, I think it's a really nice gesture to show gratitude mm-hmm. for being invited, that you send something. For
I've never
sure.
not been to a wedding that I was invited to. So that's good to know yeah. for if I ever don't go.
And I do like think about, you save money on the flight, you save money mm-hmm. on the hotel. So like make it a nice gift. And, you know, also there are, you know, honey funds now. There are so many ways that you right. can contribute.
I feel like if you get invited to a wedding by like a client or like someone business related, it's almost like sometimes like a service to them if you don't go, you know,
because
like,
because they did it out of like
they
a
did
nicety.
The right thing, yeah. you know, and like yeah. Yeah. maybe they didn't really want you there, but they felt like they had to invite you.
Right.
So like, think about that. Like, yeah. do you really need to go?
Right.
You
know? I have a friend recently who got married and she was like, Micah, do I invite my boss? Do I like, what do I do? And I was like, it depends on your situation. I personally didn't invite my boss at the time, right. but my boss interestingly said something to me after, which was a little awkward. But I was like, I'm so sorry. It was such a small wedding. Mm-hmm.
How many people?
It was 130.
Okay. That's small.
But I wanted, it was a destination wedding.
Right.
I wanted to keep it small. I didn't yeah. want it to be huge. But yeah, she said something and I kind of just came back and was like, oh, you know, I would have loved to have all right. my friends there, but it was such a small wedding. It was right. very intimate with just very, very close totally. Family and friends. And I think you can say that.
Definitely. So Micah, this has been so much fun. I feel like this is going to be really helpful to our listeners.
Good.
We usually end our episodes with a quote or piece of advice. I know you've given so much advice thus far, but if you have anything that just like is a roundup or just your go-to.
My favorite quote on earth is throw kindness like confetti. I love that. I think it's so important. That's what etiquette truly is about, is showing kindness and respect to everyone around you. So mm-hmm. if you ever are not sure what you should do in a situation, then
think about what would be, what would show respect or consideration or kindness to that person. And that's what I think you should do. Even if there's, you know, guidelines saying the opposite, like just do what feels like it would be the most kind thing to do.
I love that. And wait, actually, while I have you, I just thought of a really good question.
Yes.
What is the etiquette for going to a significant other's like family home for the first time?
Oh, always bring something.
But do you bring, like, what's what to not bring? You
okay,
know?
First thing you should do is ask what you can bring because they might assign you something. Hopefully, you know, they likely are not going to do that. And then my personal guidelines are not to bring flowers or wine to someone's, like if it's a dinner.
What about a candle?
A candle is a great gift. Something that's personalized to that person. My favorite thing is to bring, I found them on Etsy, these embroidered cocktail napkins that are linen.
What if they don't like the scent of the candle?
Then make sure it's lightly scented. I will say when every article I've ever written says a lightly scented candle is how I phrase it. Because if you, you know, bring like some potent lumberjack wooden pine candle and they don't like that, then you've kind of wasted. So something very lightly scented. A candle is a great gift. I always say something that's a baked good, either that you made yourself is always like a wow, or that you can pick up. My go-to is lingerie. In Soho, and I go and I just get like a beautifully presented box, and then it's always how you present something to wrap it nicely, and then you hand deliver it. The etiquette too is right when you get there, you give them the gift, like as you walk in.
And do you need to send a thank you note?
Always,
like, handwritten
always,
letter
always,
after
always. For something that important, yes. My advice is usually, yes, it is okay to send sometimes an email thank you.
What about a text?
No, never a text for thank you. It's just too informal. If you really mean to thank somebody for something significant, but mirror what you're thanking them by the way you're thanking them. So if it's a really nice, the first time you meet your significant others, that I would say handwritten, stationery, sent out the next day. So it arrives 3 days later.
Even if you had a horrible time and you're going to break
up. Yes. Even then. Even then, I still think it's important. So then you look amazing going away and the ex's family is like, why did you let her go? She was amazing.
Right.
Let that be the case. But I still think a handwritten thank you letter is the way to go. Even if you don't even mention the ex because they are currently your ex. After that, I think it's still like a nice gesture. And I'm such a sucker for handwritten thank you notes. I just think nobody does, like nobody makes the effort anymore.
Right.
So when somebody does, it's like, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, I love that.
Is my thing.
I love that. Thank you so much, Micah.
Thank
I feel like
you.
I might have to like be emailing you questions now all
Please
the time.
Please do. You should come to our pro. We have so many fun.
I would love to. So that program. Leads me to my last question, which is where can everyone find you, sign up for etiquette classes and lessons and things like that?
So I have a book coming out soon, but not till January. So until then, I am at the Plaza Hotel. So I teach all the adult programs, which we have weekend and night classes. And then online, we have online learning on my website, which is beaumontetiquette.com. It's a mouthful. And then on Instagram at Micah Meyer. So it's at MYKAMEIER.
Perfect. We'll put that in the notes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Micah.
You for having me.
Hope everyone loved the episode. Write us a review in the podcast app and check out our website for more information on upcoming events. WeMetAtAcme.com.